A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's got a whole thing about shop vacs this week. His argument, and I think he's right, is that a shop vac is to a vacuum cleaner what a pickup truck is to a car. Not a better vacuum. A different category. And the thing that separates them isn't the motor. It's the port. The shop vac is built as a standardized interface, something you plug hoses and tools and accessories from different manufacturers into. He wants a practical orientation for someone buying their first one, whether for a workbench or a business. What mechanically separates a shop vac from an ordinary commercial vacuum? Why the interface is the real answer? How the fittings landscape works? The tide map from HEPA benchtop to contractor wet dry? And which specs to actually check before paying?
So let's start with the claim that the motor isn't the story.
Because every box at the home center screams about peak horsepower. 6.5 peak HP. 5 peak HP. It's the number they print biggest.
And it's almost completely meaningless. Peak horsepower on a shop vac is measured at the moment the motor stalls, a theoretical maximum drawn from the inrush current when you lock the rotor. It's not what the motor produces in operation. The actual running horsepower of a 6.5 peak HP shop vac is closer to 1.5 to 2 horsepower, and that's on a dedicated 20 amp circuit, which most garages don't have.
So, the number they print biggest is a lie, and the number that matters isn't on the box. Good start.
But even if you had an honest horsepower rating, it still wouldn't tell you what you need to know, because a shop vac isn't a more powerful vacuum cleaner. Mechanically, it's a centrifugal separator. Air enters the tank tangentially, spins around the inside wall, and the heavier debris drops out of the airstream before it ever reaches the filter. A canister vacuum pulls everything straight through the filter bag. The filter is the separation mechanism. In a shop vac, the cyclone is the separation mechanism, and the filter is just the final stage.
Which is why you can suck up a puddle with a shop vac and not destroy it. The water never hits the motor because the air inlet is above the water line. And the filter, if you've swapped in the foam sleeve, it's just there to catch whatever the cyclone missed.
Right, and that mechanical difference matters, but it's not the defining one. The defining feature is the port. A shop vac has a standardized inlet, typically 2.5 inches or 1.25 inches, that accepts hoses, tools, and accessories from any manufacturer. It's a universal docking station for debris removal. An ordinary commercial vacuum is built around a proprietary hose lock and a specific cleaning task. It's designed to do one thing extremely well, and the hose fitting is part of that integrated design. The shop vac is built around the idea that you'll plug arbitrary things into it. A sander, a wet floor squeegee, a dust deputy cyclone separator. The motor matters, but the interface is what makes the category.
So the thesis is, buy the port, not the motor.
Buy the port you can live with. The motor is replaceable. The drawer of adapters is forever.
Which brings us to the fittings landscape. And this is where it gets, I want to say messy, but messy implies it was ever tidy.
It was never tidy. There are 3 common hose diameters, and they aren't freely interchangeable. The smallest is 1.25 inches. That's the standard for most consumer shop vacs and for power tool dust ports. Almost every handheld sander, circular saw, and router has a dust port that's 1.25 inches, or 35 millimeters in metric markets. The middle size is 1.5 inches, less common, mostly European, and the source of a surprising amount of frustration. The largest is 2.5 inches, which is the contractor standard for wet dry and high volume extraction.
And you can't just jam a 1.25 inch hose into a 2.5 inch port and expect it to work.
You can't, because the friction fit taper is different at each size. A 1.25 inch hose end has a specific taper that wedges into a matching port and seals. Push that same hose into a 2.5 inch port, and there's no taper engagement at all. It rattles around. Air leaks around the sides. Your suction drops to nothing.
So step one of the adapter tax, the diameters don't mix.
Step two is the friction fit versus twist lock split. Most consumer shop vacs use a simple friction fit collar. But Rigid uses a locking bayonet system. The hose end has tabs that slot into the port, and you twist it about a quarter turn until it clicks. It's secure, it doesn't pull out when you drag the vac across the floor, and it's completely incompatible with a friction fit hose. You need an adapter to connect a standard friction fit accessory to a Rigid port, and a different adapter to connect a Rigid locking hose to a standard friction fit tool.
And Rigid's not the only one with a locking system. Festool has their own. Bosch has their own. Everyone who makes a tool-triggered extractor has a proprietary bayonet or clip system, because they want the hose to stay attached when the tool kicks on.
Which gets us to step three, and this is the one that catches people. Power tool dust ports and vacuum hose fittings are effectively two different standards that buyers assume are one. A power tool's dust port is almost always 1¼ inches and uses a friction fit or a proprietary clip. A shop vac hose is 1¼ inches at the tool end, so you'd think they just connect, and they kind of do. But the tool side expects a specific depth and taper. A Festool sander port is designed to accept a Festool hose end with a rubber collar that seats at a particular depth. Your generic shop vac hose doesn't have that collar. It fits loosely. It falls off after about 3 minutes of sanding.
So the universal adapter kits exist because the industry never agreed on a single interface, and the thing that looks universal, a 1¼-inch hose on a 1¼-inch port, isn't.
And that's the adapter tax. You buy a floor nozzle. It comes with a 1¼-inch friction fit end. Your vac has a 2½-inch locking port. You need an adapter. You buy a crevice tool. It's 1½ inches, made for a European vac. You need a different adapter. Each one costs somewhere between $5 and $15, and the cognitive tax is worse than the money. You have to remember which combination works for which tool. You label them. You keep them in a dedicated drawer. You become the kind of person who owns a dedicated adapter drawer.
I know someone with a dedicated adapter drawer. He keeps it next to the drawer of cables that don't connect to anything he currently owns.
The cable drawer is a universal human experience. The adapter drawer is specific to people who've tried to connect a Festool sander to a Rigid shop vac. That specific scenario requires an adapter that costs about $20 and is frequently backordered. Festool's own adapter is the one that actually seals properly, and it's out of stock more often than it's in.
$20 for a piece of molded plastic that exists because two companies couldn't agree on a taper angle.
And that's the root cause. No single manufacturer owns the interface, so nobody enforces compatibility. The shop vac port is a de facto standard. It emerged because enough manufacturers copied each other's dimensions, but nobody ever sat down and said, "This is the spec." The power tool dust port is a different de facto standard from a different set of manufacturers. They overlap in diameter, but not in taper, depth, or locking mechanism. And the 1½-inch European standard is a third thing entirely.
So the adapter tax is what you pay for a market where the interface is standardized enough to be useful, but not standardized enough to be seamless.
And it's not going away, because the manufacturers who benefit from the lock-in have no incentive to adopt a universal standard. Their hose system is part of the value proposition. You buy into the Festool ecosystem, you get hoses that click into Festool tools perfectly and never fall out. That's a real benefit. The cost is that your Festool hose doesn't connect to anything else without an adapter.
Alright, so that's the fittings landscape. Now let's talk about what you actually plug into it, the type map. Daniel asked for a walkthrough of the whole range so a newcomer gets the shape of the category.
Four categories to know. The first is fine dust and HEPA class machines. These are for electronics workbenches, 3D printing enclosures, precision assembly. They typically have a HEPA filter rated to MERV 17 or better, 99.97% of particles at 0.3 microns. They have a sealed motor compartment so nothing leaks out the back. They use a small 1¼-inch hose because you're capturing fine particulates from a soldering station or a resin printer. The accessory ecosystem is about fine control. Static dissipative hoses so you don't zap your circuit boards, anti-clog tools, HEPA-rated extension wands that don't leak at the joints. The buyer is a lab tech, a jeweler, a small batch electronics manufacturer, someone who cares about what's in the air, not what's on the floor.
And these aren't cheap.
A proper HEPA class extractor for electronics work starts around $300 and goes up fast. But you're paying for the seal, not the suction. The filter is the product.
Second category.
Wet, dry units. The classic garage shop vac. These handle liquids because the motor is isolated from the collection tank. The air inlet is above the water line, and you swap the filter depending on what you're doing. Foam sleeve for wet pickup, paper cartridge for dry. The accessory ecosystem is about versatility, squeegee floor tools, wet nozzles that don't clog, drain clearing kits. The buyer is a homeowner with a workshop, a hobbyist woodworker, a small auto detailing operation. Someone who needs one machine that does wet and dry and doesn't mind swapping the filter between them.
And this is the Rigid WD series, the shop vac brand. The things you see stacked at Home Depot for $100.
The Rigid WD series is the archetype. 14-gallon tank, 6.5 peak HP, which we've established is a lie, but the running power is about 1 3/4 horsepower, which is plenty. 2.5-inch hose with the locking bayonet system, $100, sometimes less on sale. It's the default recommendation for anyone who wants a shop vac and doesn't know which one to buy. It's not the best at anything, but it does everything adequately, and the accessory ecosystem is enormous because Rigid sells so many of them.
Third category. This is the one Daniel's probably most interested in.
Tool-triggered extractors. These have a built-in outlet that the power tool plugs into. When the tool draws current, the vac turns on. When you release the trigger, the vac runs for a few more seconds to clear the hose, then shuts off. The key spec is the trigger delay. Cheap units lag by about half a second. You pull the trigger on your sander, and for the first half second, there's no dust extraction. Good units are under 100 milliseconds. The vac is running before the sanding pad touches the workpiece.
And the accessory ecosystem is about integration.
Completely. Anti-static hoses that don't build up a charge and shock you. Tool-specific adapters that click into the dust port and stay there. Long power cords because you're moving around a workshop. The archetype is the Festool CT series. 36mm hose, 1100-watt motor, built-in Bluetooth remote so you can trigger the vac from a button on the hose. $700 and up. The buyer is a professional woodworker who uses sanders, planers, and saws all day and needs extraction that starts instantly and doesn't fall off.
$700 is a lot for something that sucks.
It's a lot for a motor and a plastic box. It's not a lot for what it replaces, either a dust-filled workspace that ruins your lungs and your finishes, or a central dust collection system that costs 10 times as much and requires ductwork. The Festool extractor is expensive because it solves a specific problem completely. The hose doesn't fall off. The vac starts instantly. The filter doesn't clog. You don't think about it, you just sand, and the dust disappears.
And the fourth category?
Commercial and contractor end. These are the 10-plus gallon units with 2.5-inch hoses, often with a blower port. They're built for continuous duty on job sites. Metal tanks, not plastic. Rugged wheels that don't snap off when you drag the vac over rebar. Tool storage on top. The accessory ecosystem is about volume, long hoses, 25 feet or more, wide floor tools, quick disconnect fittings. The buyer is a general contractor, a renovation crew, a facility maintenance team, someone who runs the vac 8 hours a day and needs it to survive being knocked over, rained on, and filled with drywall dust.
These share the same interface challenges, just at a different scale.
Same ports, same adapters, same frustration. But the hoses are thicker and the stakes are higher because downtime on a job site costs real money.
Those are the four categories. But you said earlier they blur at the edges.
They do. A wet-dry unit can be used for fine dust if you swap in a HEPA filter and add a cyclone pre-separator. A HEPA machine can handle liquids if you pull the filter and put in a foam sleeve, though most aren't designed for it and you'll void the warranty. A tool-triggered extractor is just a wet-dry vac with an outlet and a faster relay. The categories are defined not by the sticker on the box, but by the accessory ecosystem and the buyer's actual use case. You buy the machine that's built for what you actually do, because the accessories that make it good at that thing are the ones that come with it or fit it natively. If you buy a wet-dry unit and then spend $200 on HEPA filters and anti-static hoses and a tool trigger outlet box, you've built a worse version of a Festool extractor for about the same money and twice the hassle.
The type map is really a way to avoid buying the wrong starting point.
Start with what you're actually vacuuming. Fine dust from electronics? HEPA-class benchtop unit. Water and sawdust and the occasional lost screw? Wet dry. Sanding dust from power tools all day? Tool-triggered extractor. Demolition debris and job site cleanup? Commercial contractor unit. The motor specs are secondary. The interface, the port size, the locking system, the hose diameter, is what determines whether the thing will actually connect to your tools. And the accessory ecosystem is what determines whether you'll be able to do the specific task you bought it for without spending another $100 on adapters.
Which brings us to the question Daniel actually ended with. What should a buyer check before paying? Which specs matter versus which ones are marketing?
Peak horsepower is marketing. Ignore it completely. The number you want is CFM, cubic feet per minute. But even that needs context. CFM is measured at the motor inlet, not at the end of the hose. A vac rated at 200 CFM at the motor might deliver 90 CFM at the end of a 10-foot hose and 60 CFM at the end of a 20-foot hose. Hose diameter is the bottleneck. A 2.5-inch hose moves about 4 times the air of a 1.25-inch hose at the same motor CFM. So, if you're comparing two vacs and one has a higher CFM rating but a smaller hose, the one with the bigger hose might actually move more air in practice.
CFM without hose diameter is incomplete.
Incomplete to the point of being misleading. The second spec that matters is sealed pressure, measured in inches of water lift. This tells you how hard the vac can pull against a restriction. High sealed pressure matters for tools with small dust ports. A random orbital sander with a 1-inch port needs high suction pressure to pull air through that small opening. High CFM matters for large diameter tools. A planer with a 4-inch port needs volume, not pressure. The ideal vac has both, but at the consumer level, you're usually trading one for the other.
What else?
Filter efficiency. If you're doing fine dust, sanding, grinding, anything that produces particles you can't see, you need a HEPA filter or a cyclone pre-separator that catches the fine stuff before it reaches the filter. The standard paper cartridge filter that comes with most wet-dry vacs lets 0.3 micron particles through. That's exactly the size that lodges in your lungs. A HEPA filter, MERV 17 or better, catches 99.97% of those. It's a $40 upgrade on most rigid and shop vac units, and it's the best $40 you'll spend if you're doing anything that produces fine dust.
The cyclone pre-separator, the dust deputy or similar, catches the bolt before it hits the filter, so the filter stays clean longer.
Right. A cyclone pre-separator will capture something like 99% of debris by weight before it reaches the vac. Your filter lasts months instead of days. It's a $100 add-on that pays for itself in filters and frustration. But it adds height and makes the whole rig tippy, so you need to build a cart or buy one. That's another $50 and a Saturday afternoon.
The accessory ecosystem extends to furniture.
It does. The last spec that matters is the one nobody prints on the box. What's the hose diameter and locking system, and what adapters will you need to connect your actual tools? Before you buy, look at the tools you own. Note their dust port diameters. Note whether they use friction fit or a proprietary clip. Then look at the vac's hose end and port. If they don't match natively, price the adapters. Sometimes the adapter cost is high enough that it changes which vac is the better deal.
The practical advice is, ignore peak horsepower. Check CFM in the context of hose diameter. Check sealed pressure if you're using small port tools. Budget for a HEPA filter or a cyclone if you're doing fine dust. And price the adapters before you buy the vac.
That's the checklist. And the thing that ties it all together, the thing Daniel was getting at with the pickup truck analogy, is that you're not buying a vacuum cleaner. You're buying a port that happens to have a motor attached. The port size, the locking system, the hose diameter, those are the decisions that determine whether the thing will actually work with your tools. The motor is secondary. You can replace a motor. You can't replace the interface without buying a different vac.
Buy the port you can live with.
Buy the port you can live with. The drawer of adapters is forever.
It's forever.
I was wondering when you'd jump in.
I worked a summer at a Sunbelt Rentals in Phoenix, 1998. My job was checking return units for clogs and damage. We rented shop vacs, mostly rigid and shop vac, a few Kirchers that someone in purchasing thought would sell. They didn't. Every German power tool that came through had a 1.5-inch dust port, and nobody in Arizona owned a 1.5-inch hose, so I made adapters. PVC pipe, duct tape, a heat gun when I could find one. I got good at it.
The adapter tax, collected in duct tape.
It's not a tax, it's a toll. And the toll collector is the engineer who decided 35 millimeters was close enough to 1¼ inches. It isn't close enough. A customer came in once, bought a Kircher wet-dry vac, brought it back 2 days later, said the hose didn't fit anything. I had to explain it was designed for European power tools that he didn't own. He asked if we sold an adapter. We didn't. I made him one out of a PVC coupling and some rubber gasket material. He used it for years.
Did it seal?
It sealed fine. Looked terrible. He didn't care.
You still have the drawer of adapters.
I have a drawer. I used one last month, connected a modern rigid hose to a 1990s Festool sander, slid right on. The interface hasn't changed in 25 years. That's either impressive or pathetic, and I haven't decided which.
It's both. Impressive that the de facto standard has been stable enough that a 30-year-old tool and a new hose can connect at all. Pathetic that they still don't connect well.
They connect like a screen door on a submarine, but they connect.
The PVC adapter is the universal solvent.
Duct tape and PVC. That was my whole job. That and emptying tanks full of drywall dust in 110-degree heat. I don't miss it.
The question Hilbert's story raises is whether the interface will ever actually standardize. Festool's got their Bluetooth module now. You press a button on the hose and the vac starts. The connection is wireless. That points toward a future where the electrical interface matters more than the mechanical one, where the vac and the tool negotiate power and suction over a wireless protocol, and the hose just has to physically stay attached.
But that's a decade away at best, and it only works if you're in one manufacturer's ecosystem. The Festool Bluetooth module doesn't talk to a rigid vac. The wireless future is just another proprietary interface.
It is, and that's the real answer to the standardization question. The interface won't standardize because the manufacturers who've invested in proprietary systems benefit from the lock-in. They're not going to give that up for a universal standard that lets you mix and match. The adapter tax is permanent.
The advice stands. Buy the port you can live with. The motor is replaceable. The drawer of adapters is forever.
If you're walking into a supplier tomorrow, here's what you do. Ignore the peak horsepower number on the front of the box. Look at the hose diameter and the port type. Look at your tools. Price the adapters. If you're doing fine dust, budget for a HEPA filter or a cyclone. If you're doing wet work, make sure the vac is actually rated for it. Most are, but check. If you're running power tools all day, get a tool-triggered extractor with a trigger delay under 100 milliseconds. The Festool CT series is the gold standard, but there are cheaper options from Bosch and Makita, and even Rigid, that do most of the same thing. And if you just need a garage vac that does everything adequately, the Rigid WD series at $100 is still the default answer.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for the Phoenix Rental Counter Perspective and the PVC Adapter Engineering.
If you enjoyed this orientation, we did a whole episode on the industrial vacuum machines that run 8 hours a day in airports and hotels. Same interface challenges, completely different scale. That's in the archive if you want to go deeper.
Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.